Alyssa.
Hello, Kyle. How are you?
I'm good. I am mostly recovered from our time at World Conference. How about you?
Yeah, I would definitely say mostly recovered as well. But we were so excited to see everybody in Las Vegas and really to have such a fabulously great, engaging group of attendees and really just everywhere, every experience and every event and every session that I was in. It was just so amazing to see our members doing so well and being excited to be there and
100%.
really enjoyed that.
Oh my gosh, totally. I mean, I completely agree. I was exhausted, but like in the best way possible of like,
Absolutely.
so tired, but it was because I think we like wrung every last bit of like good time and togetherness and community and learning. We wrung it all out of Las Vegas like a towel. By the time I got home, I was like, I need to lay down
That is
for a
absolutely
couple
true.
days. But yes, it was really
Absolutely.
a great time, and we're not really done quite yet sharing all the things from our time in Vegas, are we?
No, absolutely not. There is still so much to share and so many great things that happen at conference that help percolate throughout the year, from our idea fair to the student Shark Tank competition. And really just it's such a great opportunity for us to meet people too. There's so many new people and fun people that we met that will really you'll definitely see a lot of those folks showing up on our podcast.
Absolutely. The next handful of episodes actually are all kind of like stemming from our time together at conference. This one in particular, we're very excited about because this is our podcast introduction to our 2024 chairman, Joe Mendez.
Yay.
And we are so, I mean, we said this several times in our interview with Joe, but truly we are so excited for the next year with him at the helm. We came off a wonderful year with Michael Seabrook, and now we're just continuing that trend with Joe. And he joined us on the podcast to kind of talk a little bit about himself and his history in the club management space, how he came into CMAA as a student member, which is really exciting. We love to hear those stories. And then kind of how he's grown along the way and what his visions are for the next year and what he hopes to accomplish during his time as chairman.
Absolutely.
So, without further ado, here is our conversation with 2024 Chairman Joe Mendez.
Well, we are thrilled to welcome back to the podcast our 2024 chairman, Joe Mendez, CCM, CCE. We've all just gotten back from Vegas in the last week, so I know we're unraveling a lot of what happened at conference. But we wanted to take a couple minutes with Joe to kind of talk through a little bit about Joe and getting to know him better for all of our listeners who may not know him, as well as our team gets to. So, Joe, thank you for being here with us today.
Absolutely, Melissa. Thanks for having me.
Absolutely. Well, Joe, tell our listeners a little bit about how you got started in the club and hospitality business.
Sure. So my path is probably more unusual than some. I came out of high school and was an auto mechanic. Worked in gas stations and garages working on cars. Decided I wanted to go back to school and have a career that was more than standing on my feet and being dirty all day. So I went to school for accounting, and after 2 years and getting a job in the restaurant business, realized that that's where my passion lie, in hospitality. So I switched my major from accounting to hospitality. I went instead of Westchester University, I went to Widener, got my hospitality degree, and it kind of all went from there. And clubs, I got involved in clubs because of the CMAA student chapter at Widener, and it's kind of that's what it is now, and I've never looked back.
I love that. I love that student connection. I know we have so many of our board members now who came in as students and really came through the entire CMA system, which is just amazing. And I know that that means that so many of you are locked in too and to our students. I noticed you did a really cool thing at conference, Joe. You met with a lot of our student chapters and you took pictures. Can you tell us a little bit about that effort, what you did on site?
Sure. So, I'm really passionate about trying to help our students get engaged and understand that club management is a career for them, and in my humble opinion, the best career for them in hospitality. And so I do my best to engage with entire chapters so that I get a chance to know them. Many of them, I know the professors or, you know, their liaison. So I get to know them really well. And I try to take pictures with them and call out their schools on LinkedIn to give them the opportunity to really connect with as many people as possible. So I strongly encourage them to connect with me and then with others when I tag their school in the post and or tag themselves. So, you know, that's kind of been my thing for the past couple of years. And this year being a part of the student network launch, it just kind of all fell down at once. And I wound up with like 15 student chapters, I think, which was the most I've ever gotten to do in one conference. So it was really exciting.
To our listeners, Joe also let them know his phone number so they can text him. He's so serious about connecting with our students. And I think that that's so cool because it communicates to our student members that they're of value, not just because they could be, you know, a potential employee someday, but like as people, like they matter. And I love that that's, you know, a precedent that you're setting, Joe, because it's really, you know, like I have all the warm and fuzzies for our student members myself, having worked with them for so long. And actually, Joe hosted my very first National Student Education Conference. So we go way back. On that.
Yeah, and, Kyle, I think you had just started at CMAA at that time.
I had just started in the student program. So that was like my very first, like, okay, here, go off and run this show. And I was so glad that I got to do it alongside you, Joe, because I learned so much and you created a really special event for the students in Philly. But it was clear to me then your dedication to our student members, and it's even more clear now. And I'm so excited that you're going to be taking the reins as our chairman this year. And I can't wait to see where that goes. And that actually leads to our next question, which is, what are you looking forward to during your year as CMAA's chairman?
Sure. So a few things I'm looking forward to, obviously trying to introduce some initiatives around mental health and wellness, which we'll talk about, I'm sure. But more importantly, I'm really looking forward to the opportunity to connect with managers, students around the country, and really listen and connect, not just, you know, hey, I'm LinkedIn, let's connect, but really get a chance to get to know people and understand their challenges and their concerns and their needs as members and bring that back to the board as much as possible to make sure that as an association, we're truly doing the things that our members need for them to be successful at their jobs, as well as we're doing the things students need to understand that a career in club management is the way to go.
So, Joe, you mentioned mental health and wellness as being a big focus for this year for you. Can you tell us a little bit more about that?
Yeah, so I think, you know, it's been coming a little bit to a crescendo with CMAA anyway, so I'm really excited that the timing worked out, that this was my year to be chair. I think we heard at conference over and over and over again the importance of those things. I think it was Ben who talked about 1 in 4 people in the country are impacted in some way, shape, or form by, you know, mental health and issues, whatever that looks like to each individual person. And so I think in our industry, we've probably been behind in terms of recognizing this, in terms of accepting it, and more importantly, in terms of providing resources to not just our team members, but to our managers to understand how to lead people who may be going through some challenges in their life. For someone who has experienced that themselves, and understanding that it was the people around me who saw what was happening and who understood it and who knew how to reach out and help. I can't tell you how vitally important that is to a person who may be struggling. And I think it's important that as an association, that's a resource we provide. We're only ever as good as our people, and our people are all that we are. And so if we don't help them to be the best versions of themselves, then we are failing, in my opinion, to lead them in the way we should.
We could probably just stop this whole interview right there, because that is a mic drop moment for me. And I mean, I just personally want to tell you, Joe, that this is something that's close to my heart too. And I think Melissa could agree with that as well. But the fact that you are so open in addressing your own experiences with mental health challenges and substance use and things like that, I think humanizes these issues so much and really opens the door for a lot more people to feel comfortable coming forward or talking or just raising their hand and saying, hey, I might need a little help. And I think that you hit the nail on the head when you said, like, this industry is one that I think harbors a lot of that without the space to really speak up about it. And the more that we talk about it, the more that we prepare each other, the more that we look at each other as human beings and say, oh, you're hurting right now, or you're struggling, and I want to be able to help you, but I want to make sure that I'm doing it the right way, in a way that is beneficial and not perhaps more of a burden, I think is so, so valuable and important. So I just want to say thank you for making this initiative something so forward in your own platform. I think it's going to be really, really wonderful.
Well, thanks. I appreciate that. And I will say that the number of, here's what I'll tell you out of conference. If you ask me what my greatest moment in the time that I was there, it was at the student networking event. It was at closing business after my speech, when a student came up to me and said, I can't tell you how much that meant to me. It's something I've been challenged with in my life. And the fact that you're speaking about it really, really makes me feel good about the industry. That to me, mm-hmm. one person was worth any effort, which wasn't a whole lot that I had to do. I simply kind of telling my story. That's it. It's who I am.
Like I said, I appreciate it. And I know that that one person that said something to you is just indicative of how many other people maybe didn't feel like they could even say thank you. So that's pretty impactful. And I'm really looking forward to seeing what we can do as a team this year with you at the helm. So
thanks. And I've had some people reach out, a couple of managers who said, you know, what did you do? I'm struggling. Or I can't tell you how much it meant to me and how can I help? I've had managers reach out and say, I've had family members who have gone through this. I had a team member who went through something and I had no idea mm-hmm. how much I didn't know until I had to learn. And so what can I, you know, people are reaching out all over. What can we do to help you kind of support this mission and grow it? Sorry, my cat is trying to get on the camera.
We love podcats, Joe. We love our podcats. We all have them.
Mine is currently asleep on the couch, but if given her druthers, she would be up here like making an appearance. So podcats are very welcome. No apologies needed.
Yeah. And so, and the other thing obviously is the issue with sobriety, substance abuse. So certainly is something important to me. You know, I wouldn't be on this Zoom or this call with you all, this podcast, if I hadn't found that in my life. So, you know, I know it's important. And the fact that there's a group of us who've kind of started to organically grow. We now have folks in Ireland and England joining our group, as well as the United States. I've had people in Europe and the PGA and NCA reach out about how can we bring these things forward through us. So, you know, I look at myself simply as a conduit or a voice for the people who maybe don't have the opportunity to be that voice. And that's really, that's it. Just kind of shine a light on it and let people kind of take it from there. So, I'm really excited. I'm going to be speaking to the Virginia chapter about mental health, for one of their education sessions coming up in May. And hopefully I'll get a chance to do that with a few more other groups around the country.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I mean, I think that's super fantastic. And I think you, like I said before, the work you're doing is opening the door and starting the conversation for a lot of people, I think, and just, again, humanizing it and normalizing it. And the more we can socialize this stuff, the less, I think, scary it becomes overall for everyone. And people know that they're not alone. And I think that that's mm-hmm. the biggest and most important part of this. Shifting gears slightly, or maybe not, but could you tell our listeners about what your biggest mistake has been in the workplace?
Holy cow. There's a long list of things I could probably choose from. I think I would say not as particular instance, but my biggest mistake when I first got involved in hospitality and management was I kind of learned from those who were old school, where it was just do it and don't ask. And I quickly learned that that was not necessarily the best way to build a team and build camaraderie. And only when I understood that everybody's different and we have to, you know, you have to manage every single person in a different way sometimes, that I was able to grow as a leader. So I think the biggest mistake I had was coming in thinking I'm going to be like the people that I worked for and just be an autocrat and say, do what I say and don't ask questions. And it was apparent to me rather quickly that that wasn't the right path forward.
I can't imagine why that wouldn't work. No reason. But
it
I think
it was a little bit of time ago, Kyle. It was not last year.
Okay. Fair enough. Fair enough. But I mean, I think that's also super indicative of a lot of just the sea change that's happening in our industry as a whole. We see some generational shifts happening, which in that instance also has these mindset shifts that come along with it. And I think that that's a big part of it. And I think the idea that each of our team members is an individual and isn't just a cog in a machine is recognizing that fact is so valuable in creating a work environment that is open and trusting and fun and honest and productive and constructive. You know, you can still give criticism to someone, but in a way that perhaps will be received much better than if it's just, you know, a dictation. I'm going to dictate to you what you're going to do and you're not going to ask me questions about it. That's like, that might work for some people, but it's not going to work for everyone. And I think that recognition, like I said, is pretty indicative of a lot of the shifts that we're seeing. And certainly as a conversation that Melissa and I've had several times in the last couple of years on this podcast too. So I think that's a great lesson to have learned personally.
Yeah. So the fortunate thing is I've made so many mistakes that it's often easy for me to tell a story about myself when I'm trying to explain to somebody, you know, why things should be different. But I find that when you relate something to yourself that it breaks down the barrier and you find out oftentimes, you know, I'll go back to the mental health thing. You oftentimes find out that there's something happening in that person's life outside of work. Huh? That is impacting their ability to be present fully. And I would say, you know, as I think about it, probably the second biggest mistake would be believing that I needed to be at the club 24/7 for it to be successful, and putting it sometimes in front of family. So I think that would be my second biggest lesson, and something I try to communicate to my staff now all the time is families first and time off is important. And so try to lead by example with that, by saying like, I'm going to take 2 days unless there's a big event. I'm taking 2 days every week. Doesn't mean I'm not available. Doesn't mean I'm not sitting on my computer at home for a couple hours sometimes, but I'm not going to be at the club kind of in the moment and present and on stage.
Oh, I love that. I think that the ability to kind of set those boundaries for yourself and your family and putting those things first, not only is good for you, the individual, and your own, you know, health and wellness, but it's also, I think it communicates a lot to your team members too. Not just that, oh, you should also be taking time for yourselves, but I trust you to do your jobs. I trust you to handle this without me here. I don't need to micromanage you. I don't need to be here all the time to make sure things are being done properly. I trust you. And I think that trust goes a long way as well.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
All right. I've talked a lot. Melissa, do you want to take the next question?
Sure. So, you know, Joe, you talked about this work-life harmony, which is really, you know, indicative of our culture change. And hopefully, you know, that continues and helps to keep hospitality students in this industry. But tell us what you like to do when you're not working.
Besides sleep, which I try to do as much as I can. I obviously, for those that know me know, I like to exercise and try to stay healthy and fit that way. I do run on occasion. I haven't been as much, but I probably should start because I have to do 10 miles on May something or other.
Are you doing Broad Street?
I'm doing Broad Street again. Yeah.
Let's
and
go.
I haven't run in a while. I've been running a while. So, and I was unable to get to the marathon this year. So my goal still stands, and hopefully in November, I complete a marathon in Philadelphia and can check that off. And there's a group that wants to do a Ragnar run, if you're familiar with it. It's at the Bourbon Trail. So it starts at, I think, Jim Beam Distillery and ends at the University of Kentucky. So it's a pretty cool run. Yeah. So hopefully, I don't drink, but I'm going to enjoy the scenery, which I'm sure is spectacular along that
beautiful
route.
Beautiful.
Yeah. I ran through, you know, it's funny. We did a Ragnar this past year and I ran through Lancaster. And if anybody knows, Lancaster is Amish country, which means lots of no lights and lots of animals and running along the road at 1 o'clock in the morning and all of a sudden realizing there's a cow 5 feet away from you on the other side of the field. An experience I'll never forget. But it was really spectacular. And when you get done, it's anybody who knows a Ragnar knows when you get done, it's kind of a bond that you build with a group of people that never gets broken. So I like to do those things. And then I really enjoy just being with family and friends in any way, whether it's out to eat. I love the zoo. So whether it's going or the aquarium or those kinds of things or a movie, you know, it's going to see my son at Michigan State while he's at college and visiting him and bringing him home or whatever that looks like. So those are really the things I like to do. And I don't like is house cleaning and yard work. So I try to pay people to do those things. They are not on the top of my list.
So you could say less. We understand.
We understand.
Well, it's interesting because Margie, being a florist, she could spend 14 hours a day in the garden, and mm-hmm. it's the happiest place on earth for her. And I'm like, no.
No, thank you.
Have fun.
See
I want to sleep.
I mean, I too love sleep. That sounds like if I could put that at the top of my list of hobbies, it would be for sure.
Yeah. I mean, I would suggest napping in the garden.
Oh,
so, you know,
see?
Get a hammock and you could nap.
Perfect.
You know, sunny
if
afternoon.
If she was out there, I may be planted.
That might be true. That might be true. Well, Joe, is there anything else that you would like to discuss with us today that we haven't covered?
I don't think so. I think we've covered pretty much everything. What I would say is kind of what I said in my video at the end, which was, you know, we all need people in our lives sometimes, and we don't necessarily know that we need them or want the help. But I just want people to know that if anybody needs anything, whatever it may be, and they just want someone to talk to or connect with, that I'm there for them.
Thank you, Joe. And we know that about you. And we're really grateful that we have you on our team and that we get to work alongside you this year. It's going to be a great year. And we're looking forward to it for sure.
Thanks. I appreciate it. And one last thing, yes, to the entirety of the team at conference, what you all do for us is spectacular and amazing. And I can't express the thanks from myself and all of the membership, how much we appreciate what goes into what you all do to put on an amazing event for us every year. So thank you.
Oh, it's our pleasure. Thank you. We're so happy that it comes together the way that it does, and we get to see you all having a good time. So that's our reward for sure.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. And lots of sleep afterwards.
And then taking a very long nap when we get home. Oh, all right. Well, that was a wonderful conversation. And I'm really looking forward to the next year. I think we've got a lot of good priorities and we're moving in a good direction continually.
Absolutely. So, but that's, you know, it really doesn't slow down from here.
Oh, gosh,
so
no.
There are so many amazing other events and activities that we have. I myself just got back from speaking at BMI Club Management down in Atlanta, where there's an amazing group of folks in education. We also have BMI Wine and Food Management going on down in Houston. So it is busy and our team is busy, but we have more coming up. So
we have a lot coming up.
there's
really no lack of opportunity for learning over the next several months, as you will see over our next few episodes, because we will be highlighting a lot of our upcoming events. But the first one we wanted to talk about is the Capital Improvement Symposium. And Melissa, what do you have on that?
Sure. So that's coming up August 4th through the 6th at the Chicago Club in the Windy City, Chicago, Illinois. This program is really amazing because it focuses on the construction management in clubs and the competencies you need to make sure that your project is successful, whether it's a project, a renovation, or a deconstruction. So it's very diverse and extensive and goes into every aspect that you need to know from start to finish of a major project. And this is brought to you by our amazing partners at the McMahon Group and RSM. And registration is now open for this amazing symposium. Like most of our symposiums and summits, these do have a limited capacity. So if you're interested and you have a club project going on, do not delay to register for this.
Do not delay. They will fill up quickly, and you don't want to be left on the outside looking in, for sure, especially if this is something that's coming up perhaps for you at your club in the next year or two. You know there's a capital improvements project on the books. This is a great opportunity to start to kind of get your head wrapped around what that process is like and some of the best practices that you can apply as you move forward. Mm-hmm. Another exciting thing that is Melissa's favorite activity of the year is coming up pretty soon, and that is National Golf Day. What do you have on that, Melissa?
Absolutely. So National Golf Day is coming up in May, and the format is a little different this week. It's actually a Wednesday, Thursday, Friday. Mm-hmm. So Thursday, May 9th, will actually be National Golf Day. But ahead of that, on Wednesday, May 8th, folks will come in to get training to head to the hill and advocate for the issues that are important to our industry. This is put on by the American Golf Industry Coalition, which is formerly known as We Are Golf, that CMA has been involved with since its inception back in 2006. And, you know, this is going to be our 16th presentation of this event. There is no cost to participate. The only cost you incur is your travel cost and your lodging cost. So I highly encourage you to head to our website, find out more, and register no later than April 16th. April.
You'll miss the boat.
But, you know, there's a lot of great activities that go through this. And I know so many of our members are more and more engaged in advocacy. So I really encourage you to reach out and register for this event.
I totally agree. And if you've never had an opportunity to participate in a Hill Day of any kind, whether that's at the federal or state level, it's a really special chance to, one, advocate for an issue that you care about deeply, but also to really start to understand kind of how things work. You know, it's nice to be on the Hill and learn and get to talk with representatives that are from your area and make those connections as well. So it's a really, really cool thing to participate in, and I highly encourage you to sign up if you have not. Absolutely. All right. And the final reminder for this episode of the podcast is that we are currently receiving nominations for anyone interested in running for CMAA's National Board of Directors. I know if you've been paying attention to our communications over the last few months, you're probably like, wait, didn't we just have an election? You're right. We totally did about 2 weeks ago at World Conference. However, there's no rest for the wicked, and that means that we are on it all over again. So if you are a professional member in good standing who has at least 10 years of CMAA membership, this is your chance to help lead the association and really dedicate the work that we're doing toward furthering the club management profession. You can find the information on what is required to submit a nomination for yourself or perhaps even someone else. All of that information will be on our website. Take a look in this week's Outlook newsletter. You will find all the links that you need, the qualifications criteria. Nominations for board service are due by May 31st, so you do have some time to get all of your things together, but it's good to start thinking about this now, especially if you are interested in continuing volunteer service in any way. So if you've got questions, please reach out to us here at CMA HQ. You can look for Kim Pasquale. She will have all of the answers to your questions. And like I said, all of that information on the criteria and requirements will be available online. Definitely look in Outlook newsletter because it will be there front and center.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
So I think that covers all of our announcements for this episode of the podcast.
Absolutely. So much going on, and we have so many more amazing events to tell you about later this year. So stay tuned and you will hear more from us.
Uh-huh. And until next time, I'm Kyle. That's Melissa. This has been Let's Talk Club Management. Thanks for listening. We'll talk to you on the next one.
Take care, friends. Bye.
The Let's Talk Club Management podcast is a podcast of the Club Management Association of America.
Since 1927, CMAA has been the largest professional association for managers of membership clubs throughout the U.S. and internationally. The objectives of the association are to promote relationships between club management professionals and other similar professions, to encourage the education and advancement of members, and to provide the resources needed for efficient and successful club operations. Under the covenants of professionalism, education, leadership, and community, CMAA continues to extend its reach as the leader in the club management practice. CMAA is headquartered in Alexandria, Virginia, with more than 40 professional chapters and more than 40 student chapters and colonies. Please learn more at www.cmaa.org.